This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track podcast. I'm Brad the Big Noise Evans, joined by Senior Fun Buns, Brandon Funston. And let's talk rookie quarterbacks, Mr. Fun Buns, because we had a couple of impressive performances in their preseason debuts. Let's do a little chatter here. Rank them or re-rank them for me based on how you feel they are going to perform this season for their respective clubs, of course, from a fantasy football perspective. All these guys right now are going late in drafts. I believe the highest of the bunch is indeed one Justin Fields at quarterback 21, 177.6. Trey Lance also on this list at quarterback 26, 190.0. And Mac Jones at quarterback 34, 239.2. I'm not going to lump in Trevor Lawrence here because, you know, other than what Urban Meyer is saying, he's got to earn the job. And Urban, I think you need to fix your offensive line. He is pretty safe here, and there's, you know, not a whole lot of fog that needs to be cleared on determining where he is going to be week one for this Jacksonville Jaguars club. But these other guys, maybe a little bit of a different story. So Fields, Lance, Mack, in terms of their impacts from a fantasy perspective this season, how would you rank those three?
Well, first I'll say, you know, Trevor Lawrence was a big soft serve vanilla ice cream in his first go round.
Like,
they didn't have him do anything. He threw some bubble screens to LaVisca and some quick outs, and like, they didn't let him just sit back and take a deep shot at all. And I see why, because the offensive line was terrible. Even when getting rid of the ball quickly, he was had people in his face and stuff. So his kind of like, you know, we'll hold off on the Trevor Lawrence talk, but the guy that impressed me the most was Justin Fields, getting out of the pocket, kind of showing, you know, that he's been, people have dropped the Russell Wilson comparison. As a guy who watched Russell Wilson an awful lot, I can see what they're talking about when you get outside the pocket and you're able to make all the throws from outside the pocket like he can. His running ability, you know, in his first effort, his first rush, I think, he resulted in a fumble, and Russell Wilson would have went down. And Justin Fields tried to make the extra yards, got loose with the ball and lost that. He'll clean that up. He had a pass early on that should have been intercepted as well. But as the game went on, and they gave him a lot of run, he had 20 attempts. As the game went on, he just looked better and better and better. And I'm ranking him one. I'm ranking Trey Lance two, and I'm ranking Mac Jones three, because I think Trey Lance and Mac Jones, they're kind of, it's debatable who will get the starting job first, but I think Justin Fields legitimately could be like the first month of the season being the starter. I'm not sure I can say that for Jones or for Trey Lance.
Look, this may sound like a sizzling hot take, but I think Mac Jones starts before Trey Lance does. And you know, the sample size could be bigger for Mac Jones overall. Look, you're 100% right on Justin Fields. I mean, I went from 6 to midnight, like, you know, in the snap of a finger.
High noon on your sundial, are you
saying? Oh yeah. I mean, it was arousing, to say the least. You know, and you nailed it. What really impressed me more than anything, you know, wasn't his scrambling ability necessarily, you know, getting flush out of the pocket. We knew he possessed that because he's a physical runner. You know, in those situations, those opportunistic situations, it wasn't the howitzer downfield to a wide open receiver that went for 6 in a blown cover situation. It was his ability to throw on the run and throwing darts, you know, right in the hands of the receiver, right in the numbers of the receiver. Perfect footwork, very clean, pristine, and confident, man. And that's what makes Justin Fields so special. So I think Justin Fields is going to be at the controls no later than week 4 against the Detroit Lions. We'll see about Lance, man, because you and I talked about the SiriusXM Fantasy radio show that, you know, there is a possibility that maybe this Niners team goes like 9-3, 8-4 over the first 12 games of the regular season. And do you think that Kyle Shanahan's going to come out and put the kibosh down on Jimmy Garoppolo if they're playing that good of football that well? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Lance will have to be doing some amazing things behind the scenes in practice for them to, you know, for me to feel like they would be confident to make that move at that point. But I will say, I mean, I caught a little bit of Mahomes vibe from him. I can see what people are talking about. He has this air of confidence. He has this look about him where he can make just kind of like these spectacular plays. The throw that he made for the touchdown was a great throw, going scrambling the opposite direction, throwing across the field over a defender, you know, on the opposite sideline for a touchdown. That was a great throw. And he had like three drops from his receivers. But there was some bad. I mean, he held onto the ball too long a few times, took like four sacks, had a fumble. So there's stuff that he has to clean up. But you can see the raw material there is pretty outstanding.
Yeah, and just to speak on Mac Jones for a quick second here. Look, I know a lot of people are making a big deal about the 4.7 YPA that he posted. But you need to pump the brakes. This offense... that's what it's been. It was during the, you know, the senior years of Tom Brady with this franchise. You know, McDaniels was dinking and dunking all over the place. All I wanted to see from Mac Jones was the accuracy. Did it translate from Alabama? Remember, he was number one adjusted completion percentage among all FBS passers last season, and it most certainly did. On short, intermediate, and the one deep throw that he had, which Ole Wasuski should have caught for a touchdown.
I think most NFL starters on a good wide receiving core, there's multiple guys on each team that could make that catch. It's just New England, you know, and Gunner is, you know, is maybe not a guy that makes the majority of NFL receiving cores.
You ain't wrong on that one. and with that, let's get to it on today's Fantasy Five.
Number five.
All right, the subject today, players that were cooling. On. Okay, we're breaking out the extinguisher. You know, we're dumping a bucket of ice on him. We're starting to stay away from because we're getting a little skittish. We're getting a little scared. And let's start with a guy that, you know, you kind of liked just a couple of weeks ago, thinking, hey, you know, he's cheap. Probably going to lead this team in touches. Maybe going to bring in 50-55 receptions, knowing how dire the situation is across the board. But our perspective has changed on him. That's David Johnson. Yeah, the once great fantasy stud that he was back with the Arizona Cardinals. Now I remember the Houston Texans. And Brandon, he was clearly really the third fiddle in the Houston pecking order in the first preseason game. And his comments afterwards kind of showed the hand too, saying, hey, you know what, I'm dealing with a demotion. I'm working through it. When he was on the field, he was more or less a slot receiver. I mean, it's Philip Lindsay on early downs. And once Mark Ingram is on the field, because he didn't play in the first preseason game, I think it's going to be a 1-2 punch, or you know, I don't know what you would call it, a punch, light tap of Lindsay and Mark Ingram. But have you adjusted your ranks now to put David Johnson as the lowest of the three-headed ferret down there in H-Town?
Yeah, and let me tell you, that goes pretty low when you're talking about this. Look, I was getting behind David Johnson because I was thinking he would handle the passing down work and get a decent amount of carries. But it sounds like he's pretty much going to be like a third down back sort of only. And sort of kind of just sort of glossing over the fact that this is a whole new coaching regime that owes nothing to David Johnson. They come in with their own fresh perspective. They had a history with Mark Ingram. They brought him in. They went out and got Philip Lindsay. Yeah, it's now like New England South, you know, of the worst kind of, you know, New England's of the last few years, where it's like three guys, and who even cares if it's Philip Lindsay as the main ball carrier because he's not getting a whole lot in the passing game. And oh, by the way, this is a crappy team, and how much are they going to run and how effective are they going to be running the ball anyways? I don't want any of these guys now. I talked myself into David Johnson. Now I've talked myself out of all of them.
Yeah, I'm all right with Philip Lindsay at his price point right now, ADP wise. He's what, or running back 56, 190.9. I mean, he's got quick acceleration. He's always been decent in terms of yards created. Yeah, they got negative game scripts galore, but it's running back 56. I mean, that's Tariq Cohen, Damian Williams. I mean, we don't know when Tariq's going to be back. Gio Bernard territory. Why not? Why not?
I think it's great value at 56. I'm just talking more like if he's pushing the top 40, I'm just out.
Well, the moral of the story here is just avoid David Johnson and Mark Ingram. That's it.
Yeah.
The only guy worth entertaining at all is Philip Lindsay again at RB 56, 190.9 overall.
Number four.
All right, marching on. Next on our list of players that we're cooling on is who, Brandon? Certain running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, is it not?
Yeah, has anybody dropped more in value than Miles Sanders? I think I had him at like 14 or 15 at running back to start the summer, and it's just gone down. Now he's at like RB 25 for me because every time we turn around, someone's talking about the RBBC that's going to be happening in Philadelphia. On our SiriusXM show, we brought on a Philadelphia guy, talked about how Miles Sanders regressed appreciably in the passing game last year. And now I'm starting to just buy into the fact that they're not committed to him as a three down back. If he's going to be in the mix with Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott, I don't want to be in the RB2 investment on him. So I have him as my first RB outside the RB2 range.
He's always performed well, like yards after contact per attempt. You know, he was top 15 in that category last year. Decent in terms of the yards created numbers that are out there. Missed tackle percentages, you know, not too shabby either. But you're right, man. I mean, his death knell, his biggest weakness is catch the football consistently. He only caught, what, 53% of the passes thrown his general direction last year? Terrible. So you're right. I mean, Boston Scott is a major problem. And, you know, Kenneth Gainwell will be, you know, smattered and inserted here and there, but Scott's the guy. You know, you and I are apologists for Boston Scott, and I've been getting him everywhere, like with my second to last pick in the Kings Classic auction draft that went down over the weekend in Canton, Ohio. Got him for $3, you know, just a depth add, and a guy that may catch 50-55 balls this year. So yeah, Miles Sanders, you got to look at him as, you know, just an early down back. And the other concern here is if Jalen Hurts, you know, really asserts himself as the starter, then you got a goal line gremlin. Sealed away, potential touchdowns from him. I'm with you, man. I'm down on Miles Sanders. Let's do a little prompt to game of head-to-head. Let's see how far down we really are. Miles Sanders or Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt.
I have Kareem Hunt. Miles Sanders or Daryl Henderson?
I have just barely Daryl Henderson.
I have Daryl Henderson two spots ahead. Miles Sanders or Michael Carter?
Oh, you know, get Carter, baby. You know I'm a Carter guy.
I know you are a Carter guy. I kind of like Carter a little bit, but I'm still going with Sanders. I think there's just a little bit more touchdown appeal. But Sanders, yep, full surrender on him right now.
Number three.
All right, let's move on to another bigger name that is back doing contact drills, Brandon, and a player that was pulled off the PUP list about a week ago. Alfred Morris got cut by his employer. So the depth chart, it's not like Alfred Morris is really doing much anyway, but there may be some people getting warm and fuzzy again for who that we're still cool on.
Is that Saquon?
It is Saquon. Saquads Barkley.
The ambassador of Quan.
Yes. Why are you and I symbiotic on him right now? And again, a player that's consistently going in the at least the middle portion to the latter portion of round number one. Mike Clay, who was in the Kings Classic with me over the weekend, he not only took Saquon in the auction draft, he also took him in the snake. And Clay admitted openly to all of us in the room, he goes, guys, my entire fantasy year hinges on Saquon Barkley everywhere, everywhere.
Yeah, well, we had Pat Leonard covers the Giants on our SiriusXM show.
Yep.
And he went full George Clinton dropping a bomb on us with the idea that he would not be shocked if Saquon Barkley didn't play at all in week one and was even slow played and limited in week two. And, you know, as we're talking, getting into week three and week four, before we even start to see a fuller version of Saquon Barkley, you can't take him at like number six or number seven overall, if that's the case, because there's other guys vying for those positions. We need to know going in that you have a chance to hit the ground semi running in the early part of the season.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing for me is I'm trying to minimize risk early in my draft. That's it. That's all I want to do. I'm there in round one. And you're going to give me the choice of Aaron Jones or Saquon Barkley. I know exactly what I'm going to get with Aaron Jones.
Yep.
Starting week one, right? Yep. I know exactly what I'm going to get, maybe even with Antonio Gibson to a certain extent, because of all the superlatives are being thrown about. Kyle Allen saying that Ron Rivera wants to utilize him like Christian McCaffrey, right? Yeah. I mean, like, I would rather buy to that upside than the injury downside attached to Saquon Barkley, knowing that this organization and Joe Judge could coddle him early on.
And by the way, like, the offensive line not getting rave reviews. So,
Daniel Jones and practices have been getting murdered consistently. Yeah. And they looked horrendous. They were like Jacksonville level bad in their first preseason game. So, yeah, look, man, Saquon obviously is a jack of all trades. You know, we made the argument for Najee Harris, even though if he has a bad offensive line, he could catch 70 balls. Saquon's capable of doing that. But the inherent difference here between Saquon and some of these other running backs that we mentioned in that tier is the fact that he is not guaranteed to get a full workload early on in the season. And I tell you what, Brandon, just like the name of this podcast, we want to start on the fast track.
Number two.
All right, let's move on to numero dos here and players that we're cooling off on. And you and I are going to the same county, Duval County, but we have different names. I'm picking DJ Shark, and you're going with Laviska Shenault, but I think our reasoning is going to be similar.
Yeah, right now, like, Marvin Jones is kind of looking like the go-to guy. There's offensive line issues that, you know, like we said, Trevor Lawrence can't really blame him, but he ran vanilla schemes and it was still almost getting blown up in that preseason game. But Laviska's also, he's the number three wide receiver. And he's running in number three sets. He's not looking like he is going to take a significant step forward dramatically in his role from last season. And we kind of all have assumed that. But just kind of the context clues from the first preseason game sort of showed that out. So right now, assuming Shark is healthy, at least he looks like he actually will get more of a higher snap count than Laviska. But right now, I've kind of separated Marvin Jones from this trio as being the guy to target in fantasy leagues.
Yeah, Marvin Jones is interesting, but I think it's going to begin and end at how well the offensive line performs because they were a turnstile in that first preseason game, and Trevor Lawrence had no time. It wasn't you know, 1-2-3 throw. It was one, oh my God, holy shit, throw. That's what it was.
Yeah. I think he knew it because he was almost like hot potato football. You get it? It's like, okay, get it out, you know? So
I mean, and that could, to a certain extent, benefit a guy like Laviska Shenault. I think it's going to benefit maybe Travis Etienne more and the flat. And this is why I've been so bullish on his over on 44.5 receptions for that player prop that's out there. And a guy that I think is going to have a fair amount of value, at least as a running back too, in full PPR leagues, because he may catch 60, 65 balls this year. But, you know, we'll see about Shark and if he's going to be available for the opener. But right now, at wide receiver 31, 109.2, I'm not willing to pay that price for him. Viska going a little bit lower at wide receiver 40, 127.8. Then you mentioned old Marvin Jones, a guy that you have, you know, stumped for in the past, and he is going way down the list in terms of ADP by comparison to the other two guys. So far down the list, I can't even – oh, there he is. Wide receiver 52. I was going to say I can't find him, and he just popped
steal.
Up at 158.6.
Steal at 52. Yeah. He's a steal.
He is a steal. So, again, bottom line here in Jacksonville, fade Shark, fade Viska, Marvin Jones is your friend.
Number one.
All right, staying in the Sunshine State, and it is a cloudy forecast right now down on South Beach, Brandon, because we may have a full-blown RBBC in store. I know you love this guy because of where he played college football, along with one of his teammates, but what are you doing with Myles Gaskin?
Yeah, poor one out for Myles Gaskin. He was kind of angling in the Mike Davis camp of the, I can't believe he's still looking like the clear go-to guy in the backfield. But I do think that the reality is there's talk of an RBBC, and I could see them, you know, mixing liberally Myles Gaskin and Savon Ahmed. I know Malcolm Brown's there. I don't think he's going to be liberally part of that mix. He's in the Alfred Morris, Peyton Barber,
Jordan Howard.
Yeah. Like they're just Jags, Ham and Eggers, and that's probably calling him Ham is probably too generous because Ham's pretty good. But
Canadian bacon? Is that what he is then?
But, you know, instead of like the 18 touch a game guy, I think we're maybe looking at a guy who's more realistically like 14 touches per game. And so if that's the case, I had to move him down a few spots in my rankings. He's now just outside my RB2 range as well.
Yeah, I have slid him outside my RB2 range to boot. Like a guy like Trey Sermon, I'd probably take ahead of Myles Gaskin And I think Trey Sermon could have a significant role behind a standout offensive line in a system that it's just going to, you know, ground and pound down your throat. And there's just too many uncertainties here. And I think Savon Ahmed could be the wild card in that Miami backfield. Look really good, though. He was going up against a bunch of backups, I understand. But so was Gaskin. And the Hammond Ager was out there looking like he needed to be in an omelet.
Nine carries, eight yards. So Malcolm Brown.
It really is. I mean, there's still upside here for 40, 45 catches, maybe a little bit more than that for Gaskin. But right now, you know, the price tag, RB26, 103.9. Let's do this. Impromptu game head-to-head. Who would you rather have, Miles Gaskin or Chase Edmonds?
Oh, I'm still going Gaskin.
Yeah, me too, barely. Maybe I'd loathe Chase Edmonds? I don't know. I think I'd loathe the people that love him. That's probably the best way to put it. What about Miles Gaskin or Melvin Gordon?
I am still going Miles Gaskin, and Javonte Williams looked good, and he's moving up my list, and Melvin Gordon's slipping ever so slightly down as I move Williams up.
Yeah, I could probably be convinced of Gaskin, but man, it's close. Last one, and I cannot believe this, and I know this is going to be a windmill slam dunk. Miles Gaskin or Mike Davis, and the only reason I bring up Mike Davis is he's going three spots in ADP behind him in drafts conducted over the last week.
Yeah, that's insane. Mike Davis is a good bet for 300 touches. There has not been any talk of an RBBC there. It's what, Quadri Allison and Cordarrelle Patterson and maybe Javion Hawkins. Like, those guys are not, to me, legit competition. So it's all Mike Davis for me here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even close. It's Mike Davis who's still getting slighted, and I do not understand why. That is a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track Podcast. Please follow Funson on Twitter at Brandon Funson. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review, would you kindly? And until next time, adios, amigos!